Good morning and welcome to Webster Groves Baptist Church. We are glad that you've chosen to worship our risen Savior here with us this morning. A couple things to take note of. Last week we talked about the blue cards as contact information. We've had several of them turned in, or a few turned in. So if you're here and we may need to get hold of someone that you might not have someone with you, you'd fill this out and put it in the offering plate or give it to one of the deacons or Terrell or someone, we would appreciate it. Upcoming events, you'll notice December 24th, there will be no Sunday school, morning worship on Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock. And then on December 31st, there will be no Sunday school, but there will be a brunch. I assume that will start about 9:30 or so. Let's prepare to worship.
Good morning, Webster Groves. It's always a blessing to spend these days with you, to see your lovely smiling faces, and to engage in conversation, and just to find out how all of you all are doing. And I hope and pray that we have all had pretty good weeks so far. And we are blessed to begin a new week in service, in worship of our God, of our Lord, of our Savior. Let us begin this process of worship in a spirit of prayer. Please bow with me. God, we enter service this morning with the faint sound of Christmas music and commercials ringing in our ears. And we are reminded that we are on the cusp of the full holiday season. A time when we want to share love and goodwill with others, but sometimes we, even though we want to do good, Lord, allow ourselves to become overwhelmed with the hustle and bustle and unhealthy energy that accompanies the season. We can become overoccupied with ribbons and wrapping paper and tape, with boxes and postage costs. And we can be overcome or overoccupied or too focused on the desire to find the perfect gift for our loved ones. Sometimes, Lord, it feels like we are captive to our best intentions. And we recognize that in the past holiday seasons, you have guided us out of this kind of darkness that sometimes hovers over us, and you have guided us out by your loving light. And as we face the same temptations this day, calm our spirits and lift our hearts with your comforting love. Remind us, Lord, during this season of the wonders that you have in store for us that don't involve money, that don't involve stress, that don't involve pressure. Remind us through meaningful hugs and heartfelt conversations and renewed relationships. Remind us through songs that bring back important memories, smiles that remind us of past generations. As we hear stories that remind us of the hope that we can have in you. This morning, Lord, and this season, remind us of that hope. Hope that was embodied in a child that was born so long ago. Hope that is embodied in that same child who will come again. We are here to worship you this morning, Lord, because we want to be reminded of that hope. In that child, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Days are getting darker. The voice of the prophet cries in the wilderness of our lives. This prophet brings witness to the light which is coming for all people.
Praise be to God who has heard our cries.
Amen.
And now let's sing out of our pew book 126, Let There Be Glory and Honor and Praises.
Testament reading is from Isaiah 40:1 to 11. Our God has said, encourage my people, give them comfort, speak kindly to Jerusalem, and announce, your slavery is past, your punishment is over. I, the Lord, made you pay double for your sins. Someone is shouting, clear a path in the desert, make a straight road for the Lord our God. Fill the valleys, flatten every hill and mountain, level the rough and rugged ground, then the glory of the Lord will appear for all to see. The Lord has promised this. Someone told me to shout, and I asked, what should I shout? We humans are merely grass, and we last no longer than wildflowers. At the Lord's command, flowers and grass disappear, and so do we. Flowers and grass fade away, but what our God has said will never change. There's good news for the city of Zion. Shout it as loud as you can from the highest mountain. Don't be afraid to shout to the towns of Judah, your God is here. Look, the powerful Lord God is coming to rule with his mighty arm. He brings with him what he has taken in war, and he rewards his people. The Lord cares for his nation, just as shepherds care for their flocks. He carries the lambs in his arms, and while gently leading the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And now let's sing all three verses of Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 95.
Watching for seven flocks. Good morning. You'll excuse my voice. I must have yelled a little bit too much yesterday at the basketball game. It's voices went out on me this morning. Before we get into the prayers of the people this morning, do we have any praises that anyone would like to share? Awesome. Very good. That's always good. Anyone else? Do we have any prayer requests?
Pray for Adley.
Continue to pray for Adley and her family.
Darren.
All right. Keep Darren in her prayers as well.
All the kids that are taking finals.
All the kids that are taking finals. Especially a few I can think of in particular. But yes, everyone that's taken their finals. What else? Dolores and her rehab. Anyone else? Well, before we go to the Lord in prayer, I just like, as we pray every day and every night and for the different things that are on our minds and hearts. Christmas is a rough time for some people. I remember my mother loved Christmas probably as much as any holiday that there was. And I remember as a child, Christmas was the thing. And she worked so hard and she'd freak out about every little thing because she wanted everything just right for the family. And then probably a few years before she passed away, she had one sister. She was the youngest of 10. And the sister that was closest in age to her was the one she was closest to. And Aunt Marie passed away, I think, on Christmas Eve, but sometime right there around Christmas time. And I remember my mother was never the same after that. And because Christmas had a different connotation at that point. And it was sad for me not to just see my mother sad, but also to see that something that she held so dear and something that should have had a greater meaning for her all of a sudden seemed to not have that meaning. And we know a lot of people like that who are either lonely at Christmas or they're hungry at Christmas or they're depressed at Christmas. A lot of people, for as many people that find this a joyous occasion, and we're running around, as Terrell said, through the hustle and bustle of everything, trying to get everything done and buy gifts and wrap presents and go to family dinners and do all the things that we do for Christmas. Some people don't find it quite so joyous. And so let's remember those people in our prayers as well, that they can find maybe a little joy in Christmas and find the true meaning of Christmas. And also pray that in some small way, we can bring a little joy to one of those people if we get the opportunity. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for all the gifts and blessings that you give us each and every day. Just ask that you would be with us as we go through our daily lives and help us to maybe be a shining light that brings someone to you. Be with all the people that are sick and afflicted, all the people that were mentioned today, and those that were not mentioned that are in our hearts and minds. Be with those people and please lay your healing hand upon them and help the doctors to make them better. Be with the people that are grieving, the people that are lonely, the people that are hungry, all of those that in one way or another are less fortunate than us. Help us to not only remember them, but help us also to reach out to them if we get the opportunity. Lord, be with them and let them know that you're there and that they are not alone. Just ask you go with each of us throughout each and every day and help us to always be mindful of what this season is really all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now let's sing hymn 76, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We'll sing all four verses.
Ransom heaven.
you're able, let's stand and sing 61, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 3. Shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early led us to thee. Blessed Jesus, you may be seated.
No, I'm not Victoria Carter. I'll be filling in for her today. We're reading from Mark 1, 1 through 8. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began just as God had said in the book written by Isaiah the prophet. I am sending my messenger to get the way ready for you. In the desert, someone is shouting, "Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him." So John the Baptist showed up in the desert and told everyone, "Turn back to God and be baptized. Then your sins will be forgiven." From all Judea and Jerusalem, crowds of people went to John. They told how sorry they were for their sins, and he baptized them in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair. He had a leather strap around his waist and ate grasshoppers and wild honey. John also told the people, "Someone more powerful is going to come, and I am not good enough even to stoop down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I
Advent is the season within the church calendar when we dedicate intentional time to remembering the birth of the Christ child so many years ago. Not like we necessarily need many reminders. All we have to do is go to any store right now or turn on any radio station in general, or actually turn on the television, and we'll be reminded that the Christmas season is quickly coming upon us. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means coming or arriving or a visitation. And I know that many of you all know that. The coming, specifically the visitation of the Christ child. But in addition to referring to someone coming for a visit, the Latin word is also a translation or a transliteration of a Greek word which refers to a second coming. So Advent has a twofold meaning for the life of the church. On one hand, it refers to the birth of the Christ child, which is his first coming, which we intentionally celebrate in December. It refers to a time long ago when people sent of God prophesied about a coming Savior who would free people and bring justice into the world and fulfill prophecy. It refers to a time when people anticipated and saw the King of Kings born and eventually lying in a manger. But on the other hand, it also looks forward to the second coming of the Christ man, the man who will redeem all of creation through his intentional actions and will. And this redemption will occur at a time that none of us can actually pinpoint. Although we cannot pinpoint it, we know assuredly that it will occur. So for us, for the church, Advent acknowledges an event in time that has already come and an event in time that is still yet to come. Now, it is the church's practice to experience the season of Advent through four specific things that can help us to understand the depth of God's love for God's children, which was expressed through that Christ child. And the themes that are on the walls of our sanctuary right now, the themes of hope, peace, love, and joy. And today, for just a few moments, we will look at the theme of hope. And we'll look at the theme of hope through the two passages that were read for us this morning in service. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, and Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. We all know what hope is, don't we? Hope is to have confidence in something or someone. To assume confidently or to trust that something is or that something will be so, or that something will be a very particular way. To have confidence in the future. So what is the common theme? What is the common word that I just used multiple times in defining hope? The idea of confidence. Do you think the readers or the listeners to the words found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 11, do you think they had much confidence about anything in their lives? Were they able to think about their futures confidently? Were they able to say that they were confident in their relationship with God? No, they were not able to. They needed hope like a fish needs water. As we talked about before, Isaiah is not a happy-go-lucky book. The words delivered in Isaiah were not given because God was pleased with God's people. It was the actual opposite. The words and prophecies handed down through Isaiah were given because God's people refused to live according to God's standards and to live according to God's precepts. Whether it was in how they worshiped God or how they interacted with other people, they put their desires above God's desires for their lives. And they did this for a long time. And God pleaded with them through multiple prophets, through multiple people. God pleaded with them to change their ways, but they refused. And ultimately, God pronounced judgment against them. As was mentioned last week, the book of Isaiah can be divided into three separate sections. And each section deals with a phase that was occurring in the lives of God's people. Chapters 1 through 39 of Isaiah deal with God's warnings, God's words of warning to the people, trying to make them aware of what would happen if they didn't get their acts together. They would be taken captive by their enemies and they would live many years in bondage. It would seem as though God had forgotten about them. God would be silent towards their request and God would not respond to their cries for help. They would feel like they were all alone in the world. Isaiah chapters 40 through 54 show a change in God's attitude and a change in God's tone towards God's people. In those chapters, the writer shares God's words of hope with the people that were experiencing the things that had been prophesied about them or predicted about them that would occur. The writer tells them that although God had been silent for many years, as God said God would, God actually did hear their pleas for help. And God would do something about their circumstances. God had not forgotten about them. In chapters 55 through 66 of Isaiah, it explores, it acknowledges the thoughts and the feelings of God's people after they were freed from their captivity and as they began the long journey to return home. How would they respond knowing that their salvation was just on the horizon? How would life be for them when they made it back home? I think we all have experienced that kind of question before, haven't we? When we are asking kids throughout the year or the month of December what they want for Christmas, and the kids know that as long as they act right, as long as they behave, as long as they do the things that they think we want them to do, they'll be fine in order to get that present. But as soon as Christmas is over with, things kind of go back to normal. And I don't know if that's true of your children, but unfortunately it was true of me and my twin brother. So the question that the people that are addressed in the book of Isaiah have to face in those chapters is, how would they handle their freedom? Would they be intentional about their relationship with God after their prayers were answered, or would they go back to doing things the way they used to do them? Would they go back to the ways that got them in trouble in the first place? In Isaiah chapter 40, the writer announces something of an advent for God's children. The writer announces the good news that God's people have been waiting for. God's anger against them had subsided. They had suffered long enough. They were about to become free. Their waiting paid off. God is on the way. God would send someone to free them from their captivity. Within this passage in Isaiah chapter 40, God uses a messenger to share these wonderful words with the people. In verse 1, God tells the writer, or the messenger tells the writer, to encourage my people, encourage God's people, give them comfort. In verse 2, God tells the writer to speak kindly to the people and to tell them that they will soon be free. In verse 3, someone is shouting about making a clear path for the Lord to return. Whether it's making a road through the desert or filling in valleys or leveling mountains, do whatever you need to do to make the Lord's journey to the people as easy as possible. In verse 6, the writer hears someone telling him to make another proclamation, but the writer realizes that his words would have little effect because his words have no authority. Only God's words can make a difference. And the voice that has been talking to him responds with affirmation that God is the one from whom the words are coming from. God is here. God is present. God is the mighty warrior who will free God's cherished people. But not only is God the mighty warrior coming in power and authority, God is also the caring shepherd who personally leads and carries the sheep through rough terrain. That's quite a dichotomy to talk about God in one breath of being a mighty conquering warrior who returns with everything that he took during battle, to say that this same person, this same God, this same being is the one who carries the sheep where they need to go. In the end, God was not just going to send someone to free the people. God would come himself to do it. The people's waiting and the people's longing would not be in vain. God had heard their cry, and God would come back and do something about it. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 has a sense of waiting and longing to it as well, just like Isaiah. The people of God are once again living under a certain type of hardship. Although they are free in general to live where they want and to do what they want and they can worship God as they see fit, they are still under the thumb of an occupying power, the Roman government. Their land is occupied by an oppressive force, and they regularly pray for God to free them from their Roman overlords. They want hope. They seek hope. They need hope. They pray for hope. They want to rule themselves and not be subject to a power that does not necessarily respect them or respect their God. They crave deliverance. They want God to do something for them, but they too have had to experience an Advent season. They too have had to experience a season of anticipating and waiting for God to move on their behalf. And just as God heard their cries and their pleas in Isaiah, Mark says that God has heard the cry of his people as well. God heard their prayer, and God answered their prayer by sending the Messiah, by sending the Savior, by sending the prophesied one to free them. The problem was that God's people wanted a military leader. They wanted a military savior. They wanted a military power, while God wanted to participate, or wanted them to participate in a greater salvation experience than just receiving their physical freedom, which is wonderful, which is good, which is important. But God wanted more than just that. God wanted them to participate in a greater salvation experience that would have implications not just for them, not just to free them, but to free the entire world and to free future generations. As in Isaiah 40, God sent a messenger to herald the coming of salvation of God's people. John the Baptizer served as this messenger. He literally resided in the desert, and he dressed and behaved like the Old Testament prophet Elijah. He shouted, he preached, "Get ready, for the Lord is on the way. Turn back to God and be baptized, and then your sins will be forgiven." God used John as the messenger who would pave the way for Jesus and his message of salvation, of restoration, of relationship with God the Father. John acknowledged that he was just the opening act for someone greater than him. He realized that his privilege, that his message was to tell others about someone else who was coming. He knew that he was just a placeholder for the one who would come and who would actually provide salvation and deliverance to the people and to future generations. Next week, we will go more in depth into understanding John's idea or John's awareness of his calling as the one who would pave the way for the Messiah. But right now, I want to simply recognize that, like the writer in Isaiah 40, John was sent by God to provide a message of hope to a people that were in need. John was willing to be the voice telling a new generation and anyone else that would listen that God had heard their cries, that God had heard their pleas, that God was about to get involved. And the really special thing was God was not just going to send anyone on his behalf. God would come himself. Because of this, the people could really have hope. So we are back to this first word that I used at the beginning of the message, hope. That is what today's message is about. Hope that even when it does not seem like God is listening, prayers do make it through. Hope that although life is not always easy, God does get involved. Hope that even though it seems like a lot of time has passed by, that actually the time is drawing near that God's deliverance will be right before your eyes. But this message is not just about having hope. It's about how God brings hope to the people that need it the most. One of the ways that God brings hope to people in need is through a messenger. Through someone who is willing to proclaim the meaning and intents of God's actions. Someone who is willing to be God's voice in the here and now for people who may not recognize it or understand it. God's desire, God's practice of using messengers did not end in Isaiah or in Mark. Did not end with the use of John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. Isaiah was not the last Old Testament prophet. John the Baptist was not the last person to proclaim the coming of Jesus. Both prophets spoke words to the people right where they were to give them hope, which would lead them to patience as God worked out the divine plan. Others came after them who were able to give a clearer explanation or to show specifically how previous prophecies had come through in the person of Christ. But the point is that the writer of Isaiah and the writer of Mark were willing, the writer of Isaiah and the prophet John the Baptist were willing to be used by God to share the message of hope. So I end today's sermon with a simple question. Are you willing to be used by God as a messenger of hope today? Are you willing to stand or sit or to tweet or to blog or to Facebook or whatever it is that people do nowadays? Are you willing to use the means that are at your disposal to simply share the message that there is hope for the world? Yes, things may seem crazy. Things may not be going as most of us intended or expected or hoped. People may not be getting along as they should. People are in bondage in too many ways to mention this morning. But the message of hope says that no matter how tough life gets, God has not forgotten about any of us. No matter a person's social or economic class or education or occupation or anything else, God sent the Savior to be born, to take on human flesh, to live, and to bridge the gap between God and humankind. That is the message of hope that God wants shared in the world today. And to be God's messenger does not require you to be perfect. To be God's messenger does not require you to have the best oratorical skills. And as you all can tell, I don't have the best oratorical skills, if that's even the right word. The point is God is not asking you to be perfect to be God's messenger. What God is asking is for you to be available, for you to be willing, for you to be open to sharing the hope that you have received with others. To share the simple story of the good news, that the Savior came, but that He will also come again. That He will come back to restore all things, to make all things new. God will return for us, and God and humankind will exist together. This is the message of hope that we are privileged to share. This is the message of hope that God is asking you to give to the world. And I have to acknowledge that our world could use more of this message today, couldn't it? But our world can also use more messengers like the writer of Isaiah and like the prophet, like the man John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. So the question that you face today, the question that I face today is, are we willing to be those messengers for God's glory? Amen. Let us pray together. God, we thank you for the example that we have in your word. We are so thankful for the message of hope that you have given prior generations and that applies to us as well. The message of hope that you have heard, that you have seen, and that you are responding, and that you don't just send just anyone to respond on your behalf, but that you come and you take care of it yourself. And many of us need you to take care of some things in our lives right now. And we trust, hope, and believe that you are on the way. But in addition to that, Lord, we realize that other people need to have the same hope that we have and to hear this message. And you invite us to be willing participants in sharing that message. We are not perfect. We don't know everything that we need to know. We are not always articulate, but we are thankful, Lord, that you never give that as a requirement in the first place. We can share our hope through our testimony. We share our hope through our actions to other people. And Lord, I pray that you would instill it in our hearts, that you would burn it into our hearts to share this message of hope wherever we go, for your glory and honor, and for the sake of your creation. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'd ask everyone to please stand and let us prepare our hearts and our minds for our benediction. As we prepare to leave this place and to go about the coming week and experience all that life has for us, I pray that you would accept these words as words of encouragement. I pray that we would all be messengers who proclaim God's message of love and hope. And I pray that we would share that message with our friends, our neighbors, and all the world, not just during this holiday season, but every day that we are able to awake. In Jesus' name, amen.